This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
Hello, and welcome to Denny's. Well, that sounds friendly, but it turns out that things aren't so much fun behind the scenes for the workers at Denny's. In fact, this January, 50 workers for the restaurant chain launched a $10 million class action lawsuit against their employer for breach of contract. Northland Properties and Dencan Restaurants, Inc. are the firms that operate the BC locations of the Denny's restaurants. The workers were hired through the Canadian government's Temporary Foreign Worker Program. Most of them came from the Philippines. Charles Gordon is a labor lawyer representing the workers, and he joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Charles.
Hi.
Now, how did Denny go about hiring the workers?
Denny's hired the workers, the Filipino workers, using an employment agency that operated out of Richmond and with an office in Manila. And that agency recruited the employees and charged each of them approximately $6,000 to come and work for Denny's in Vancouver and British Columbia.
So they had to prepay $6,000 each for the privilege of coming and working at Denny's?
Yeah, each of them paid about $6,000. And if they didn't pay that money, then the contracts didn't proceed.
Wow. And then these workers say they all experienced similar breaches of contract from their employer. What exactly did the company do?
Well, the employees were brought in under a Canadian government program, the Temporary Foreign Worker Program. And under that program, there are certain minimum working conditions that are supposed to be adhered to. There was a contract entered into between Denny's and each of the workers under that program. And that contract provided that each worker was supposed to get 40 hours of employment a week. They were supposed to get overtime pay in accordance with the BC Employment Standards Act. And those things in particular weren't adhered to. Many of the employees got less than 40 hours of pay after they arrived in Vancouver, some significantly so. And then on those occasions when some workers were able to get overtime, that was only paid sporadically. And then furthermore, there's a provision in the contract that says that Denny's is supposed to pay their airfare to and from the Philippines, and each of those employees had to pay their own airfare in addition to the $6,000 they paid for securing the contract with Denny's.
Now, the lawsuit is filed as a class action suit. What can the workers win if they're recognized as a class compared to if the courts decide to view their cases individually?
Well, you know, they would win the same thing potentially either way. I mean, proceeding as a class, given that there are 50 of them and all of the claims are essentially the same, is just a much more efficient way of proceeding. And obviously, it's a way of proceeding that makes it viable economically to proceed with the lawsuit. It wouldn't be as viable to proceed with 50 individual lawsuits. So it really is a means by which to give, you know, this group of employees effective access to justice.
What other kind of avenues could they have explored? I mean, could they have done anything through employment standards?
Well, the problem with the Employment Standards Act, there were a couple of problems with employment standards. One is that there's a six-month limitation on claims that has been put on employment standards. That's been in effect for about 10 years, so that if they don't make a claim within 6 months of the issue arising, that employment standards loses jurisdiction. So in these cases, for instance, on the airfares and on the employment fees that they paid, unless, you know, within 6 months of arriving in Canada, they figured out that there was a breach and how to address that, after 6 months, they're out of time in which to do that through the employment standards branch. The second problem is there's also what they refer to as a self-help model of employment standards in British Columbia. Again, that's about 10 years old, wherein the onus for enforcing your rights under the Employment Standards Act are really left to the individual to bring forward a complaint. You no longer get employment standards officers that go out in the field and investigate and bring forward these issues themselves. So the result of that has been, in at least one case at Denny's, when an employee brought a complaint forward through employment standards, he was fired from his job at Denny's about a week later.
Well, I was going to ask you if there could be consequences. And then if you're fired from your job, as you say this worker was after bringing a complaint, then it's not just fired from your job. I guess you also have to leave the country.
Yeah, the under the Temporary Foreign Worker Program, workers are tied to the particular employer that brought them over under that program. So if an employee under the program is working for Denny's and loses his or her job at Denny's, they lose therein their right to remain in Canada and they have to return home.
Now, I know that you're the lawyer for these particular workers, but that you're also a labor lawyer, and I'm wondering in general if you know how the actions of Denny's, in your experience of working in this area, have compared to other companies who use the temporary foreign worker program.
Well, no other specific examples have come to my attention, although I was involved in another case of temporary foreign workers that worked on the tunneling project for the Canada Line subway, and that was another temporary foreign worker program where there were problems. But I would say more generally that, the problem with the temporary foreign worker program is it creates a class of people that are horrifically vulnerable to abuse because of, the position that they're put in, wherein if they lose their job, they lose their right to remain in Canada. They're in Canada, a foreign country to them, and English is generally a second language to them. They're not familiar with their rights, and even once they may become familiar with their rights, they're extremely reluctant to try and enforce those rights because of the dire consequences if the employer terminates them. So, you've got a program that's creating a tremendously vulnerable class of people, and it wouldn't be too surprising in that circumstance that some of them at least are being taken advantage of. And the program is being very, very widely used. The numbers, there's tens of thousands of temporary foreign workers in British Columbia. So given the vulnerability, one would have to suspect that there are other cases out there.
If you win this case, will it be a precedent-setting case?
Yeah, it would be a precedent-setting case in that there's no other case that I'm aware of where temporary foreign workers are seeking to enforce their rights by means of a privately launched class action lawsuit. It's our hope that this will provide a model for other foreign workers if they are being taken advantage of under this program, so that they can see that they can enforce their rights, that there is a viable avenue for doing so.
Legal avenues are long drawn out and certainly not for everybody, and I'm wondering if you think there should be specific policy changes within the temporary foreign worker program that will just legislate that this kind of thing can't happen.
Well, I think what needs to happen with the temporary foreign worker program is that there needs to be some effective enforcement mechanism to ensure that people aren't taking advantage of these vulnerable workers. At the moment that doesn't exist. At the moment, the onus for enforcing the provisions that are there, the protections that are there on paper for them, fall squarely on the shoulders of the people that are most vulnerable, which are the temporary foreign workers. And in order to get around that, we would need to put enforcement powers, give meaningful enforcement powers in the hands of some kind of agency that's not vulnerable, so that they can go ahead and enforce. That we haven't seen that yet.
I mean, you have to wonder, at least I'm wondering, if it's just that the temporary worker program is intrinsically flawed. in that it brings people here for a short time, and even people, if they had their rights spelled out for them, then would have much less time to get familiar with that and much greater level of vulnerability.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's an element of intrinsic problem. I mean, most of these workers, for instance, hope to remain in Canada if they can, you know, and gain permanent residency and bring their families here. And because of that aspiration, they're very, very reluctant to, you know, step on anyone's toes or upset anybody in Canada, because they always suspect that that's going to have some kind of negative repercussion for them in gaining permanent residency in Canada. So they're always going to feel highly vulnerable, I think.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Charles, and good luck with the class action suit.
Thanks very much, Jane.
I've been speaking with Charles Gordon. Charles is a labor lawyer and has been representing a group of 50 migrant workers who filed a class action lawsuit against the operators of Denny's restaurant.